This is episode 31 of the Well-Rounded Wealth podcast. Listeners, welcome back. Thank you so much for listening to us like you always do. Patrick, how you doing, man?
Good, brother. How are you?
I'm doing great. Oh my God. Yeah. So my water in my apartment has been out since 8:30 a.m. on Friday. It is currently Sunday night, 7:15. So it's been a while without having access to water. I mean, we're fine. It's more of just an inconvenience than anything. Yesterday I went to my uncle's place to take a shower. He lives like 20 minutes north of the city. So that was how I was able to shower yesterday. Today, because the mid-rises have water back, but I'm in a high rise and we have like, it's just a whole different system. So ours is still out. So I went to the 8th floor bathroom. It's like kind of like a public bathroom, like by the pool area, and they have a shower there. And I used that. The water pressure was horrible. It was practically leaking, and there was no heated water whatsoever. It wasn't just a cold shower. It just like felt like I was taking a shower in like a drinking fountain. It was awful. like that was like the level of pressure I was getting. That was like how much water I was getting. Like my mission trip to Jamaica, the shower was much better, and that was practically using a hose. It's probably the worst shower I've ever taken in my life. But we're good. It's a first world problem. I could sit here and complain about how I had to go walk to a Publix to take a shit, but it's really not the end of the world.
Yeah. No excuses, you're fine.
Yeah, it's funny. My roommate Cole, and like he doesn't understand the meaning of the word complain. So today with the which I love about him, he's got his head high on his shoulders, but like this morning, like I was like, God, we still don't have water. And he was just like, yeah, this is an inconvenience. And I'm like, I was like, yeah, dude, it fucking sucks. We don't have water. That was what I was thinking in my head. It was just so funny. So we both have like expressed that it's very annoying, but like we're both just like trying not to whine and complain about it. So
not the snap.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, you know, we bought some water from the store. Yeah, I'm getting by. We're getting by. You realize how much you need water to do anything. You want to cook food, can't use the water. You want to drink water, duh. Go to the bathroom, no, you can't flush the toilet. Take a shower, no, can't do that. You can't do laundry. Yeah. And then it's interesting because your whole... You know, I have so many like stresses going on, and like you're thinking about so many things, like, oh, like, you know, what are the next few months going to be looking like in my life? Like, how's that going to look? And this entire weekend, I was just like, okay, how am I going to take a shower? Okay, how am I going to go to the bathroom? Okay, I need to navigate this, and I need to, that's all I cared about all of a sudden when a convenience that you take for granted every day gets stripped. I was like, that was all of a sudden all I cared about, which I thought was pretty interesting.
Sure, it's almost not peaceful in a way, but if you're able to like step back from that, because then it's like, all right, now I can just focus on what's right in front of me, which is like, you know, surviving, instead of having to hop around and stress yourself out with overthinking on am I on the right path, like doing everything I'm supposed to be doing, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and not that it's bad to be like that, you know. But, you know, I think you and I have talked about this together, but also like, I think when the water is back, I won't take that for granted as much, you know, so you can wake up in the morning, like, yes, I have stresses going on. I have concerns, but at the end of the day, I have access to water. I have access to electricity. I have food. I have what I need. Grateful for that. And on top of that gratitude, let's get after other things.
Yeah. Speaking of, what are we talking about today?
Oh, we're talking about, interestingly, imposter syndrome. And a quick disclaimer, because I feel like It'd be really funny for us to talk about imposter syndrome and acting like we're two like hot shots because we're not.
Not yet.
But just kind of that feeling of being in a position where maybe you feel like you're not exactly what people say you are, you don't exactly feel qualified as you might feel like you're being perceived as. You brought that up and I thought that'd be really cool to talk about. What made you kind of think about this? Has there been something going on recently in your life that made you kind of want to talk about this whole imposter syndrome aspect?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of a podcast I was listening to and then kind of my own life. Just, I think we're heavily influenced by societal norms and the crowd that we keep up with. Or the crowd, not even that we keep up with, but the crowd that we see. So I think you can, if you're able to step away and look at where you are in your environment versus where you want to be and ask yourself, is this who I am? And like, is this how I should be talking, acting, the path I should be pursuing? And you kind of realize like, hey, maybe I took a little step off, or like maybe I'm saying things that I might believe are true, but I don't have the validation or I don't have the evidence to validate them yet. And that's, I think, where this stemmed is. It's like, I know where I want to go and I know who I want to be, yet in pursuit of achieving that, and needing to tell myself that I can do this and I am on the right path, you can get a sense of doubt that even though you're going the right direction and talking about the right things, you haven't necessarily gotten to that point, the point of epiphany, to where you've achieved them. So you feel like, how can someone believe the path that I am talking about where I don't necessarily have the evidence myself to back up where I am? And that's where this kind of stemmed from.
So it's kind of a lack of anecdotal experience to back up your personal philosophy. Is that kind of
exactly
what you're getting at?
And I think we've talked about this before, like huge proponent of, hey, if you talk in the first person saying like, this is what I have done, no one else can tell you like that you're wrong, because that's exactly what you've done. However, there is a point in life where you do have to kind of stretch a little bit, because you have to give yourself the belief that you can do that thing that you are trying to achieve. Yeah. However, if people ask you about that, I think you can be very upfront being like, hey, this is where I'm trying to go. I haven't reached it yet, but this from others' experiences that I've heard or spoken to, like, this is what I think it should feel like. However, I can't give you that first person recollection of exactly how it feels.
Yeah. It's kind of when you're describing to you're less describing to people where you are, and you're more describing to people where you want to be. And then you're describing how you believe you're on the path that's going to get you close to there. And it's kind of, sometimes when I do that personally, I'm like, well, I'm kind of talking out of my ass a little bit here, because I haven't gotten there yet. You know what I mean? I've tried to make sure that, and I'm more talking like one-on-one conversations with people that I have, like that I'm not like projecting myself, because it could sound really both arrogant and naive if you kind of say that with a confidence. Mm-hmm. And like, yeah, I mean, this is what you got to do, man. If you want to be like one of the greats, you got to, yeah, man, yeah, man, yeah. And you're like,
yeah, man, yeah, man, yeah.
You're like, I'm 23 and my net worth is not very high at all. It's barely getting me by, as a matter of fact. But this is it's what you got to do, man. You got to do this and that, and you got to stay on top of it, man. like,
that's exactly the voice in the back of our heads right now, man. And it is that thing, that point you bring up where you do need to have that voice in the back of your head that's telling you, like, that's reaffirming the path that you're on. Because as soon as you start letting doubt into it, it might not be the most straight path to where you're trying to go. However, if you do know that it's going to get you there with consistency, stick on it. And maybe as you continue down that path, you'll iterate and find a straighter path. But as soon as you let that little voice of doubt creep in, even if someone's like, are you bullshitting me? It's like, yeah, you know what? Maybe a little, but I know I'm going to get there because I'm not letting it not get me there. So I think that's, to your point, like having that little voice in the back of your head, like even though we're young and other people are young, it's like you do need to have a little confidence in yourself, and it might come off as arrogance, depending on the way you say it. I think arrogance is more a byproduct of the modality in which you communicate that instead of like the intent behind it. But if
an arrogance usually arises out of insecurity, like it sounds arrogant if you're more trying to convince a person of how much you have it figured out, that's when it really comes across as arrogance. Cause it's kind of like gets that eye roll. Like, okay. But if you're just kind of being honest, like this is the path I'm on, I think it's the right path, and it's just, this is what I'm doing, that I think people are like, oh, okay. Yeah. He's going. Okay.
Yeah.
So I think that's arrogance usually stems almost not usually. I think arrogance almost always stems from insecurity.
Yeah, no, I think 100%. And it is a great opportunity to open conversation when you pose it in the sense of this is what I am doing right now. I'm not saying this is what you should do or what others should do or what others I am following. It's just, this is the path I'm on. What are your opinions on it? What have you done? What would you do in my situation? I think it's a great conversation starter because it's less of the point on where you're going and more on the human nature aspect of it, of how do you navigate this thing that we call a goal and life as a human? How would you do it from your perspective and compared to how are you doing it from your perspective?
So it's more just a kind of more just of like a sharing opportunity rather than like, this is the way to do it. It's more like, here's what I'm going for. What do you think? What are your thoughts on that person? Like, what do you think that's a good path? Like, it's like, and you don't have to take what that person says as fact, but it's just kind of opening your mind to other opinions that aren't your own.
And I think it's always good to, if you speak from it, I think one thing, even though I do have this somewhat imposter syndrome, I will say that I always try and speak from a point of enthusiasm and passion behind it. It's like, it's basically like, you know what, if you're going to run through a brick wall, you might as well try with all your might to run through it, because guess what? Someone who's only going to run through it 80% is probably going to get bounced back compared to the person who goes 100% kind of thing, where it's like,
yeah,
you can feed off others' enthusiasm and energy, where it's like, you can feel it coming from me. Like when you talk about acting, it's like, that's exactly what you want to do. You get fired up talking about that stuff, about these little specificities within your realm of specific knowledge. And I think that's, we've talked about this with like bow hunters or musicians. It's those little things that people would even know that they don't know because you're just so ingrained in that field.
Where did bow hunters come from? That was so specific.
We talked about it on a prior episode.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa, what a niche, cool thing.
I mean, there's so many little things out there. It's like, or like a carpenter. Like we have one guy that works for us. And it's like, he teaches us a little trick with the hammer. I'm like, oh my God, that makes life so much easier. So
those little things. I have a question for you. What are your thoughts on the phrase fake it till you make it?
I like it. Okay. I like the use of it as long as you are being genuine in the pursuit of what you are, quote unquote, trying to make it to. I think a lot of people can play the game where it's like, I'm faking it because I'm trying to create a alternative persona of myself. That's not true to who I am. I think that is a dangerous way of faking it until you make it. Because I think when people, or at least like how I originally perceived fake it till you make it, it's like fake it till you make it big. You're famous and popular and glamorous, you know?
Okay.
That's not my vision of making it. So I think you have to just get really clear on what your vision of making it is. Is it you want to be able to be financially free? Is it you want to be a great husband, wife? That's probably not a great example of faking it until you make it.
I was like...
That's never mind. Let's stick to the career path one. You can't fake that one.
Just act like you love your wife and kids, and maybe we'll get there.
Don't do that.
just let your family think that you're not having an affair. Just fake it and they'll probably never find out, and you'll make it and it'll be great.
Yeah, I was like, hold on, no, don't do that one.
Yeah, well, I kind of have a contrarian view on this phrase, fake it till you make it. Okay. I don't like it. And I'll because I don't like it for what my goals are. So, for example, let's say, hypothetically, you want to be an actor. Now, a fake it till you make it could be, you know, just get the big part. You know, get the lead part in a show or a movie. And, you know, but it's like, oh, but like, I haven't acted that much. I haven't been trained in acting that much. But I have this part. But because I acted like I was a good actor. Like I shot the shit. I talked a big game. Now, this would never actually happen. This is hypothetical. No one could just talk their way into a lead role. But let's just say that kind of happens. You know, a lot of you knew the right people. You got an agent that just sold the shit out of you, and you get a huge part. Now you're the lead in the show. But you kind of realize you spent all this time just trying to get a big part that you didn't really focus a lot of time on being good at your job of acting. So now all of a sudden you get there, and now you literally have to fake it till you make it, or hope you make it, because you know, you're like, well, okay, I got to do it now. And I think to a degree that hypothetically, if you're in that position, it could work out. I think that's where the imposter syndrome would really hit you. You know, if you're not confident in your abilities when you have the job of being in that position of a lead actor, and you're not confident in your ability as an actor, I mean, I think that's where the imposter syndrome really kicks in. And that goes for anything else. You know, you become the owner of a company. Maybe someone was like, I'm selling my company. Hey, Patrick, you know a lot about real estate, and I have a real estate company, and you take it over. And not this isn't true, but let's just hypothetically say you just told the guy you know a lot about real estate, and you barely know what a house is, you know, and that's and now you have this company.
You don't know if you're gonna have an affair with your wife. Who knows?
Yeah, you never know. You know, like that's, and the reason the imposter syndrome is kicking in is because you legitimately do not have the skills that are necessary. So now you literally have to fake it till you make it. You have to, you get the position before you have earned the position. I think that's where imposter syndrome really kicks in. It's where you get something, but you don't, in your head, you're like, I didn't earn this. I'm not qualified yet, but here it is.
So I think two thoughts on that. One, okay. I 100% I think the sure way to go is having all the skills and being 100% qualified for a position before you embark on it, right?
Mm-hmm.
However, that's not how life works. Unfortunately, like, we're never 100% prepared for anything. So right. I think there's two paths of people. It's like, oh my God, I have this position. I have this acting lead acting role. And now I'm either in group A where I'm like, crap, I'm going to fumble the bag because I don't have all the skills and experience yet. Or two, I'm like, all right, screw this. I know I don't feel 100%, but I'm going to show that I'm meant to be here. Like, I'm just going to figure it out. Mm-hmm. I think that's you and I think a lot of the people that we resonate with, like, that's the type of people I want to be around. Like, I could give, I mean, I care that you, like, know what you're talking about, but if I can see it in someone who's like, look, and especially who's someone who's like, tells me, it's like, look, man, I might not be the most qualified for this, but I'm going to figure this shit out and we're going to get it done. Like, it might not be pretty, but it's going to get done. So, and then yeah. I'm just going to keep learning because I don't think we're ever 100% prepared for anything in life. Like, there's no possible way to. And if you are, I think that should be a blaring, in my world and how I want to live my life, that is a blaring sign for me of being, hey, man, you're too comfortable. Like, if you're 100% prepared for something, it's like, all right, you have been too comfortable for too long and you need to get outside your comfort zone and challenge yourself. Because that's when I think we see the biggest strides in growth. What are your thoughts on the two groups?
So I agree with what you're saying. I would say that I think it's important. It's kind of, I'm bridging this, and I actually fully believe this, what I'm about to say. I think you should prepare as much as possible for the things that you can control. So when the shit hits the fan, and the things that you couldn't control, when the crisis happens, you can have the ducks in a row that you were able to control, and then you can focus all of your energy onto what you were not prepared for, and be able to use your critical thinking, trust in yourself, have the confidence in yourself that you will be able to remain calm during a crisis event or something crazy that's going on, and that because you have disciplined yourself to have control over the other things that you were able to have control over. Here's a concrete example I can use for this, and it's specifically acting, and then maybe we could come up with like a business anecdote on your end. Mm. Okay. You are going onto set and you have, let's just say, like a 2-page scene. You got like, yeah, like 20 lines of dialogue on this day on set. And you're there. And all of a sudden, the actor opposite you is kind of changing up the lines a little bit. Maybe it's because they don't have it memorized that well. Maybe there's a little bit of improv going on. And all of a sudden, you need to be ready to adapt for a change of how the scene is going. But you memorized your lines. You prepared. You made sure you prepared as much as you could. You did all of your research on your character. You are confident in your ability to perform, and you are comfortable in your ability to perform. Because I've been in situations acting in my life, especially when I was younger, and even a couple times in class. This has totally happened. You know, I didn't prepare previously as hard as I should have. So I like kind of knew the lines, but not that well. And all of a sudden, there was kind of evolution going on in the scene, those variables that you can't prepare for no matter what. But then all of a sudden, I can't even remember my lines at all because the scene's going a different direction. And I was barely remembering where the scene was supposed to go in the first place. So I think the best way to prepare for something that's going to change is to be as prepared as possible for what you know you can prepare for. So
yeah.
I think being able to go into that scene, having all your lines down and knowing you have your lines down, having all your character choices down, having your research down, knowing the physicality of your character, have everything down as much as possible. So then when the things, when the not even shit hits the fan, but when the change comes, you're ready for it. And you're like, yeah, I'm a pro. I have this down. I'm prepared. I'm a good actor. And I'm, and I'm, I got as prepared as I could be. I think that's the way to go. And I feel like that can kind of be attributed to almost anything in life. You know, let's sales, you know what I mean? Like, you don't know if you're going to make the sale, but you can at least know for a fact that you prepared your sales presentation. You prepared it as well as you possibly could. You gave it your all. And then other variables could come up, you know, the potential person you're selling to throws a variable at you that you hadn't previously prepared for. But then you go from there because you have the confidence in yourself and you're like, no, I'm a good salesman because I know my stuff. I know everything that I was supposed to know. The variables are coming. Let's get after it.
I think that comes from a standpoint of being able to think critically. Mm-hmm. Like the point you bring up with acting is like knowing your lines, but also being the person that can react to a significant change. So I think broader spectrum, we need to prepare ourselves as a person with our with a specific mindset that we can adapt to any situation before we go ahead and only focus on what the specific material is in front of us. Because if you believe in yourself as a person instead of just yourself as a person in that situation, then you can use those skills and a variety of different settings. Once you have that mindset and once you believe in yourself as a person, then expanding on it within that specific niche for you acting, making sure you know the lines, making sure you know your character movements, making sure you know the physicality and the way in which they communicate their lines, then you can adjust to anything that is thrown at you because one, you know your specific knowledge of that like scene, for example, and mm-hmm. you also have the confidence in yourself that I know if someone throws a wrench at me, like I'm going to be able to move around it and continue progressing.
Yeah. So it's almost, it's preparing to be adaptable, kind of, mm-hmm. you know, except the things are out of your control and that things probably will happen that are out of your control, but just be ready, be as prepared as you can for the things that are in your control.
Now,
so that when that happens, you have the confidence in yourself to adapt to the situation and use critical thinking.
I think it, yes. Now, I think it is, it's easy for us to say prepare to be adaptable.
Yeah, that's
what does
true.
That mean, though? Because I think that's where I'm having that's not where I'm having the issue of the imposter syndrome, but I can see like anyone listening, it's like, all right, what does that mean? How do I prepare to be adaptable as a human?
I think this is definitely a creative example, more in the creative realm. But if you let's say, all right, I'm going to use a different example. You're preparing to take your SAT test. You have your SAT coming up. Now, who's going to do better? The person that studies more, prepares more, or prepares less? The answer is going to be the person who prepares more. Most definitely. However, if you go into it and you very specifically prepare for this SAT and you know exactly how the test questions look and you've taken a ton of practice SATs and you're expecting it to look and be just like this, and then all of a sudden you go into the test and then you're almost freaking out because you're like, oh wait, in this test this wasn't exactly as I prepared it to be, oh my god, I'm freaking out right now, and all of a sudden you start losing confidence, you start second guessing yourself, and then shit kind of hits the fan. And I'm saying this from personal experience of like one of the first SATs I've taken. That was, you know, I kind of just took a couple practice tests and I was like, okay, I understand these specific questions and these specific examples. And then all of a sudden I get to the SAT and I'm like, oh my God, wait, this isn't exactly what it was like on the practice test. And I kind of like freaked out and started, you know, second guessing myself and didn't do as well as I wanted to. But the advice that I think everyone kind of hears for those big tests like that, it's yes, prepare very hard for them. But they always say the night before, don't. They're like the night before, you know, just hang out, just do something leisurely, take your mind off of it. Don't even try your best, not even think about it, and then get a good night's rest and then go in and take the tests. The advice is pretty much let it go. Prepare really hard, and then right before the test comes, let it go. And I think that kind of is what, in a way, of how I'm saying to prepare for anything is, you know, do the prep work, do your homework. But then once the push comes to shove, let it go a little bit. Trust in yourself. Like, the work will show if you did indeed work hard and prepare. You can let it go. You can just do it.
Yeah, that's where anxiety fades, when you know you have put the needed amount of required work into the preparation for something.
Yeah.
However, I still think there's the question, though. I think that's a great example, because a lot of people have felt that with SATs. Stupid test, but you know, whatever.
And was it the same advice for like the Ironman? You know, they're not like night before run an Ironman, so you know you can do it tomorrow. Well, there's also physical reasons of why they don't advise that, but
yeah, it's very similar to athletics. Basically, it's you want to know that your body, your mind, who you are, whatever situation you're preparing for. You want to know that you're like 90% there, and then you taper back a few days before or a week before, whatever the situation is. And then you, on the day that you need to perform, you blow it all out. And I think that that's very consistent across different industries and education and athletics. You know, even athletic games, like you have a hard week of practice, but you don't go all out the night before the game. The thing I think I was trying to get at with preparing to be flexible and adaptable as a human is it's more a longevity basis. So I don't think you have like, I'm not like, all right, on June 2nd, 2028, that's going to be the day I need to be adaptable, right? Like, I don't know what I don't know about what I'm going to have to do in the future.
Right.
But what is going to prepare me in the most flexible and well-rounded manner for when I get to that point in life that is going to say, oh, you know what? I think I remember a few years ago or a month ago, I was studying this one thing, or I came across this one person, or I have a connection in this space where I know I'll be able to figure this out. And I don't think there's ever a situation where you can pinpoint like, hey, I know the exact answer to this question. It's like, all right, I might know one or two pieces of the puzzle, but as I find those few pieces of the puzzle, I can keep adapting and iterating based on that. So the answer I think I'm looking for is, how do I prepare myself subconsciously, even though I don't know what I'm going to face in the future, but how do I continue progressing on a daily basis or a monthly basis to continue improving myself so that when the time comes, I'm ready for what I need to be ready for? And I think there's a great quote. I forget if it was a book or a podcast I was listening to, but it was, always keep your sails up, and you're in a ship on the ocean. It's always keep your sails up, because you never know when you're going to catch that gust of wind that is going to propel you across the rest of the sea, across the rest of your voyage. And I think that's a great framework to have. It's basically always keep yourself open to opportunity and put yourself in positions where you can catch the wind. Because if you're locking yourself in your room, or if you're not getting out there and exposing yourself to new opportunities, then you never know. You'll never know the gust of wind that you'll miss, because you'll never be able to see that you missed it.
It's a really good quote. That might be my favorite quote you've ever shared with me on this show. I'm not going to lie to you. Huh.
Good.
And you're a quote god, Pat.
I do have a Rolodex of quotes.
You got some good quotes. That one really resonated with me. I'll tell you why it resonated with me. Because, you know, sometimes my sail is down. You know, it's not always down. But sometimes, you know, when I feel like I'm not catching the wind, I don't leave the sail up, you know. They kind of chill out a little bit, kind of bring the sail down. Because I'm just like, you know what, it's not the time right now to have the sail up. Because I'm not feeling the wind. So I put it down. And that's a framework that I am realizing right now. That really hit me. That legitimately really hit me. I really, really like that. The sail should always be up. I really like that.
Yeah, and I've been feeling that too, because it's like, I mean, I know you're working hard. Like, I've been pulling like 12, 14 hour days, and I'm long on that. And it's tough because you might, even if you get like a little gust of wind, it's like, oh crap, like that didn't take me where I wanted to go.
Yeah.
And like, that's the hard thing, is being consistent with keeping it up, because, you know, if you're on a ship, you're still pulling on that rope to keep the wind up or to keep the sail up. So it's not nothing to continue to put the effort in. And we talk about having a long-term mindset on this podcast a lot, which I think is a great, great framework for anyone to live in life. Like, I was with a bunch of my buddies, and they're like, that is one of the things I wish I had when I was younger, is being able to think 10, 20 years in the future. And I think it's an amazing framework to have. However, there is also something I'm searching for that gives me that boost when I wake up every day to say, like, all right, what is going to be that reminder? And maybe it is like, hey, keep your sail up today.
Yeah.
Because you never know when it's coming.
I love it. I feel like I have more to share, but I feel like we could wrap it there if we wanted to.
Let's wrap it there. Let's leave that with the hammer blow. the existential sail up.
I love it. Awesome. All right. Well, cool episode, man. Thought we were just going to shoot the shit a little bit about some theoretical stuff, and yeah, he kind of hit me hard. So thank you. I really needed this.
Yeah. Likewise. And, yeah, I always think, if you guys have any suggestions for us too, like I know we've definitely shared some books and whatnot on here, in terms of kind of the quotes that I pull or the inspirational people to read from or follow. If you guys have anything for us too, we'd love to hear it. And we'd love to always hear like anything like the imposter syndrome type episode that we had today. Like, is there anything like that you're going through? Because this is a journey for Jack and I that we're sharing with everyone. And I would put a very hefty bet to say that we are experiencing the same things you are. It just might not be front of mind for us. So we'd love to talk about it, and we'd love to pencil it out like we did today.
Yeah, seriously. It's easy. It's really easy to feel alone, especially in the way that you think. I think a lot of times I get kind of in a space where I think I'm the only person that's stressing about the things I'm stressing out about. I'm the only person who's experiencing kind of this self-doubt that I experience. I'm the only person making dumbass mistakes.
who doesn't have water?
The only person who doesn't have water besides the rest of downtown Atlanta. I think that's sometimes can be a very lonely and dangerous thought process. Patrick, I'm glad I have you to kind of remind me that I'm never alone in this. But for anyone listening, you're not alone either. If you ever want to reach out and share your thoughts and your opinions on some of the stuff we talked about, do it, because then we all feel a little less alone. And it's just kind of an awesome reminder that, you know, at the end of the day, we're all on this journey together, and we all got each other's backs.
Just monkeys with the plan, man. Humans trying to go places.
That's all we're at the end of the day. We're just humans trying to go places.
I love
trying to do
too,
human things
from Naval. I think that's the quote I have on my Instagram right now, where we're all just monkeys with a plan.
At the end of the day, that's exactly what we are. Yeah. All right. Then boom. Let's call it right there.
All right. Thank you guys for listening. We appreciate all the likes and anyone following us. As always, check us out on the social medias, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and YouTube. And look forward to hearing from you guys more.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you all so much.